Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is one of a series looking at major financial frauds, which is an area that absolutely fascinates me because it's easy with hindsight to look at these schemes and think, how could people be so stupid? But at the time, the companies involved in these schemes were seen as the biggest and the best and the most revolutionary in their field, and everybody wanted to be a part of it. And in today's video, we're going to talk about Bernie Madoff. And Bernie Madoff was a modern-day Charles Ponzi. Now, Charles Ponzi is very famous because he set up the famous Ponzi scheme, and everybody knows how those schemes work. So how could anybody be so stupid to fall for it again? But as I'm going to tell you in this video, a lot of people got sucked into another Ponzi scheme by Bernie Madoff to the tune of around $65 billion. And this scheme wasn't a short-run thing. Charles Ponzi scheme came and went within the course of 12 months. Bernie Madoff was able to pull off his scheme for decades, and it actually became a really exclusive investment club. People were clambering to put money into Madoff's scheme, and with hindsight, that is absolutely crazy because all of the people lost all of their money. So here we go. This is the story of Bernie Madoff. Bernie Madoff was born on April the 29th, 1938, in the borough of Brooklyn, New York. He completed a bachelor's degree in political science at Hofstra University, spent some time studying law at Brooklyn Law School, and married his high school sweetheart, Ruth, while still at college. In 1960, he founded Bernard L. Madoff Investment Securities, LLC, using $5,000 he had earned working as a lifeguard and installing sprinklers. He began trading penny stocks or shares of small companies that are not listed on major stock exchanges, and he soon persuaded family, friends and others to invest with him. When the Kennedy slide flash crash lopped 20% off the market in 1962, Madoff's bets turned sour and his father-in-law had to bail him out. Madoff and his brother Peter began to build electronic trading capabilities, which they claimed used artificial intelligence to provide market-beating returns and insights into market activity. They claimed that the technology allowed the fund to achieve market-beating returns using a legitimate trading practice known as a split-strike conversion. Investors were only allowed to join upon approval from Madoff, and this air of exclusivity added to the company's mystique and attractiveness. The business became a roaring success, with investors who were fooled by the extremely high returns Madoff was offering. By the late 1980s, Madoff was making in the vicinity of $100 million a year, and he was later appointed as chairman of the NASDAQ in 1990, 1991, and 1993. Madoff was a flamboyant and impressive leader of the scam, and he had a reputation for delivering amazing profits. He skillfully groomed his victims by earning their trust, and the fund developed an air of exclusivity as Madoff frequently declined initial new investment inquiries from clients. Madoff cultivated an image of honour and altruism and was involved with various philanthropic organisations and charities, and this helped to attract even more potential investors. In reality, Madoff did not have a magical trading system and was not using artificial intelligence. The fund promised steady double-digit returns to its customers, but he was using cash from investors to pay back money to older ones. Despite pretending to be trading securities, Madoff was actually running a Ponzi scheme. The fund did not invest, and all of the cash received from investors was simply deposited into bank accounts at Chase Manhattan Bank. When customers wanted their investments redeemed, Madoff used other investors' money to pay them back their initial capital plus a fictitional profit. This scam worked fine for many years as more and more cash was invested and the total amount of funds increased. Madoff was able to sustain the fraud for several years and managed to withstand a severe recession in the 1990s, the global financial crisis in 1998, and the jittery aftermath of the 9/11 attacks. Through those years, Madoff earned a reputation as a man of his word, never failing to honour redemption requests and delivering the profits that had been promised to his customers. Madoff and his wife lived a luxurious life, owning private jets, a yacht, and homes in Manhattan, Long Island, Florida, and the south of France. It was only after the crash of 2008 that the Ponzi scheme finally unravelled. In November, the company said that its year-to-date returns were 5.6%, compared to a drop of 39% for the S&P 500 during the same period. His investors, who had so far put all of their trust into Madoff, began to pull out their money, just as new sources of income dried up. As the selling continued, Madoff could not keep up with the constant requests from clients to get their money back. By November 2008, investors had taken out over $12 billion from Madoff accounts. As the number of investors requesting withdrawals from the fund increased, the funds in the bank account fell, and Madoff was unable to carry on the deception. On December the 10th, Madoff told his sons, Mark and Andy, who both worked at their father's business, what he had done. When I told them in the afternoon, they left immediately, went to a lawyer, and the lawyers told them, you have to turn your father in. They did that, and I never saw them again. On December the 11th, Bernie Madoff was put into jail. He said he did everything alone, but several of his co-workers were also sent to prison. Total losses from the Madoff scandal are estimated to be in the region of $65 billion, including the fictitional profits that Madoff was sending back to customers for at least two decades. The scandal is considered to be the most humiliating failure of the Securities and Exchange Commission and the US stock regulator, as it was unable to detect wrongdoing despite investigating Madoff more than six times since 1992. When he was finally charged, many people were angry because the biggest damages could have been avoided if the first investigation had uncovered the fraud. Court-appointed trustees have so far been able to recover $14 billion from the money that investors pumped into Madoff's business. A former investor told the judge at Madoff's sentencing, he stole from the rich, he stole from the poor, he stole from the in-between. He had no values. He cheated his victims out of their money so he and his wife could live a life of luxury beyond belief. Madoff, who was Jewish, swindled prominent co-religionists by pretending to be interested in Jewish philanthropy. He duped Nobel Peace winner and Holocaust survivor Eli Wiesel and the charitable foundation of filmmaker Steven Spielberg. At least two investors killed themselves after suffering losses because of the scam. Madoff's son Mark also took his own life on the second anniversary of his father's arrest in 2010. His other son Andrew died of cancer at the age of 48 in 2014, and he blamed the stress of the scam as the cause of his disease. In March 2009, the then 71-year-old Madoff pleaded guilty to 11 federal felony counts, including securities fraud, wire fraud, mail fraud, perjury, and money laundering. He said he was deeply sorry and ashamed, but such was the anger against Madoff that he had to wear a bulletproof vest to court proceedings. Calling his crimes extraordinarily evil, the court sentenced him to a maximum possible term of 150 years in prison, effectively the remainder of his life. His personal property, including houses and investments, were seized, as were assets worth $80 million that his wife claimed were hers. His brother was also sentenced to 10 years in prison in 2012. In 2020, after serving 11 years in prison, Madoff asked for an early release stating health problems. The judge who had sentenced him denied the request, saying that he did not believe that Madoff was truly remorseful and that he was only sorry that his life as he knew it was collapsing around him. Madoff's Ponzi scheme became a potent symbol of the culture and greed and dishonesty that pervaded Wall Street in the run-up to the global financial crisis. In April 2021, Madoff died in a federal correction facility at the age of 82. Hopefully you found this video interesting and informative. If you've liked what I've said today, then please give me a thumbs up and don't forget to subscribe. And thank you for watching this video all the way through to the end.